Welcome to the Home Business Podcast with Richard Captain Henderson, publisher of Home Business Magazine, and Sherilyn Colleen, managing editor. This how-to show helps you successfully operate your home-based business.
Greetings and welcome to the Home Business Podcast. I'm Richard Captain Henderson, your skipper at Home Business TV.
And I'm Lynn, your co-host.
Let's cure for seeing and get underway. According to the self-described meanest woman alive, even if a woman is brilliant and powerful, she too often uses tentative, non-assertive speech in the business world.
This is called woman speech. It's indirect and polite, while men's speech is often more assertive and direct.
Why is this? Because many women feel that assertive language makes them seem pushy or maybe even worse, the B word.
Well, let's get tips from the meanest woman alive, Linda Smith, who joins us today, author of Smashing Glass and Kicking Ass.
Good morning.
Morning. Good morning. Linda is fighting stereotypes. It doesn't make you a jerk to state your view as clearly as a man would.
Women should show confidence and change gender roles. So greetings, Linda Smith. Welcome to the Home Business Podcast. Say hello.
Hello.
Hi.
So you're connecting in from Beverly Hills today.
I am.
So let's get our power suits on.
Linda. Okay. I'm ready to go.
Great. Why is confidence so important, and why do women need to stop playing nice?
Oh, okay. That's big, but I'll try to cut it down to something shorter. Everything depends on confidence. And have you ever seen, you've been in a meeting or you're somewhere and there's a man talking and he is speaking forcefully and confidently and everyone is listening to him and he becomes the leader. And you happen to know that he has not a clue what he's talking about.
That sounds like me.
And presents himself so well that you follow him. And so it's confidence. Okay, let me, this is a tongue twister, but confidence trumps competence every time. Women are raised to believe that if you do excellent work and you're a good girl and you do everything right, you will advance in your career. Wrong, totally wrong. All studies show it's not about your excellence, which is good to have, but it's about your confidence. And the other thing to remember, and those of you who are sitting there thinking to yourselves, well, I don't really have confidence, or how do I get confidence? Confidence is a skill. And like any other skill, it can be acquired and it can grow, which is really good because you don't have to just say, well, I'm not confident, that's it. You have to just do it. Act confident if necessary, fake it till you make it. Acting is a big job, part of any job. Walk the walk, talk the talk. And I'll give you one quick example. Let's say you're afraid of public speaking, terrified, and you lack confidence. Give a speech to 5 people. And what you find out is the world doesn't open up and swallow you. You don't get pelted with rotten tomatoes. You're still okay. You lived. You didn't get a Nobel Prize for your speech, but it was fine. Okay, that will give you the confidence to try again. Maybe you'll go to 10 people, et cetera, et cetera. And that works with everything. It's like, just start acting and act confidently, and pretty soon it'll become natural to you and grow.
So it's just kind of like, there's all kinds of continuing education, and you look at confidence as just something that, it's not just something you can say, one day I've got confidence. You got to work at it and train at it. And do things to build up confidence, each day.
Well, absolutely. And the thing is, I talk about there are two sort of dragons that women have to confront. I don't know if we should call them dragons or demons, but one is the external dragon of male dominance. Men make the rules. Men run the world. And the other one is the internal dragon of self-sabotage, where women have this internalization of that voice that's constantly telling them, they can't do this, they're not good enough, they're going to fail, and we're so afraid to try. And what I'm saying is, try anyway. Get over yourself and just try it and take baby steps and you'll get better.
Maybe I'll ask Sherilyn here if I make up all the rules in Home Business Magazine. Well, Linda, leadership is critical in business. Linda, what you say, women have superior leadership skills to men. So why aren't more women using these skills?
I think it's a question of confidence. So it circles back around. I think women, let me just start with my main premise, which is that we are playing by a male playbook. And we've been, for decades, we've been struggling to be treated equally to men and to be, you know, and to get ahead that way. And it's not working. In fact, we're going backwards. And I'll give you one quick example, and that is in 2017, we had 32 women CEOs of Fortune 500. In 2018, that would decrease by 25%. And the same thing is happening in academia, in all sorts of business and entrepreneurial, everything, especially in STEM. So we need to start playing by our own playbook. It doesn't work to lean in, outman the man, become a mini man, or, you know, outgun the men at their own game. You need to use your superior leadership skills as a woman. And here's what they are. And I think once women understand this and stop trying to become mini men, it'll be better for us.
I like that. Mini men.
What?
The term mini men. Yeah. Just
mini men. Yes. study after study shows that the secret sauce for success now in the modern world with the telecommunications and the media as it is, that an emotional intelligence is the secret sauce for leadership success, okay? And there's 12 criteria that go into emotional intelligence. And of those criteria, women outscore men in 11 out of the 12. And on the 12th, they tie men. And these criteria, we don't just outscore men in the warm and fuzzy ones like empathy and emotional connection. We outscore in driving for results and taking initiative. So we actually have recognized by Harvard Business Review and Forbes and Fortune and McKinsey and everybody, we have these superior leadership skills. We're just not using them.
What's that 12th one we tie at? Which one is that?
I'm not sure. I'll take a look.
I'm trying to fight for something here. All right. Wait, before moving on to our next topic, I'd like to highlight this show's sponsor, Shane Douglas, one of the home-based industry's top earners and trainers. He is working to train the right motivated individuals, get paid when people pay their monthly utility bills. Shane Douglas has a business model to prosper off the paying of those bills. For more info, visit betheone.com. That's BTHE1.com, or visit our podcast webpage for more information on sponsors.
Words have consequences. Linda, what is the one word that all women should ban from using?
Oh, my God. That's easy. Never say I'm sorry. Why do women apologize all the time? All the time before they start to speak, before they do anything, they're sorry. What are they sorry about? Do you ever hear men saying they're sorry? I mean, my view is you say I'm sorry when you've genuinely done something to hurt someone. That is the only time. Women say it all the time. And here's this.
What does it do? Does it show weakness or what?
It shows weakness. So this feeds into the whole manterruptions thing. Okay. Can I go there?
Well, yeah, that was going to be the next subject we were moving on. And, you know,
sure,
basically, you know, we got to be careful with this one, particularly me. So what are manterruptions? And, how can women stand up to them?
Should I, on one show, we did this skit where every time the man talked, I interrupted him. Mm-hmm. So it was like, but anyway, what manterruptions are is meant you're anywhere. You could be in a meeting, let's say you're in a certain business, but it really can take place anywhere.
Wait a minute, I want to manterrupt you there.
Stop it.
I'm practicing. I'm trying to practice. All right.
Okay. Men either cut you off or talk over you, and everybody switches their focus. And it happens to women in the secretarial pool, and it happens to women Supreme Court justices. They've done a study, and they then renewed it 2 years later, that said that the women Supreme Court justices are interrupted 3 times more by the male Supreme Court justices and by people arguing before the court. And the more women on the court, the more interruptions, not less. Okay.
Wait. So you get more women on the court. I don't mean to manterrupt you here, but you get more women on the court and there's more interruptions?
You bet.
No.
Isn't that weird? And they did the study and then they did it again 2 years later and it came out the same way. And what they find, here's what you got to do. Okay. Here are the rules to stop it. Number one, you stop it the way I started to say, which is you say, I'm not finished yet, or stop interrupting me, or I'm sure you have some good points, but let me make mine, or I've listened to you, now you listen to me. Like whatever that. You're going to say, just stop them. Zero tolerance for interruptions, and call them out on it. And then we get to the part where you have to use direct, forceful language. Women use apologetic, weak language. And that is why I was saying about one of the things Justice Ginsburg on the Supreme Court learned is she was always very polite, and she'd start out when she was questioning someone by saying, let me just ask you, or something like that. Boom, she was cut off by another justice. So you have make your points directly, forcefully. Never caveat what you're saying. Women, in addition to saying, I'm sorry, women say things like, I'm not sure, but I think, or I might be wrong, but why? Why would anybody listen to you if you start that way?
I think like sort of with guys when they're around, maybe they, they man-interrupt and, maybe they each try to out-man-interrupt the other one. But like with women in meetings, do women sometimes, you see, maybe play off of each other as one meek and then the other one kind of follows suit? And if one will be stronger, the other one will be. I mean, what are the dynamics when you have like multiple men, multiple women in a meeting? Is that
women don't interrupt women in the same way that you just interrupted me? And the thing is, in fact, my pitch to women is to try to, what also happens to women is you'll put forth an idea and everyone will poo-poo it and they'll go on. And then a man will say the exact same idea and everyone will think it's great. It's just staggering. For men, it's all about dominance and power. For women, it's about communication. So we're losing on that. And so what I've advised women to do, and what's worked in some industries, is to, if you have two women in the group, there's men and women, but there's another woman, the woman should reinforce you. I like what Linda just said. Linda's idea is a good idea. That was Linda's idea. So it would really be a mistake to undercut each other like that. The last thing about when you're presenting is you need to use your body language. You need to stand up if you need to. You need to look the interrupter directly in the eye. You need to put your hands flat on the table. And if you need to go to the front of the room, do that too. So you're projecting that you're forceful and that you have something important to say, and damn it, you're going to say it.
I got to ask you this question. I mean, if a woman is not assertive and suddenly she gets like really assertive in a meeting, and does these things you're talking about, is it true that, a guy will end up kind of, the coworker, that one that was really dominant, will kind of cower at that point? And I've seen that before.
You're probably skeptical of that, right?
No, I think I've seen that.
But actually, when you look a man straight in the eye, stand up, look at him and say, I'm not done yet, they will shut up.
Yeah.
Generally, is they're called out. I mean, I can see the light is coming on me in a weird way, but that's okay. They will be quiet and let you finish. And you've really called them out for everyone. So I think it works.
Yeah, I think, if you have some guys sitting around and one does that with the other, that it becomes like a manhood thing where they'll stand up and, want to jockey back. But I think, that could kind of shake up the dynamics and you're not expecting it. And you cower a little bit and back down.
Well, I have this theory also that, how we just talked about emotional intelligence, that men are always trying to figure out who is the alpha male. Right. And the alpha male keeps his radar finely tuned to figure out if anybody's challenging him. And so men are playing this sort of testosterone-induced game as to who, has the bigger manhood. And women don't have that issue. So we go under the radar. So while this is going on, we can use our emotional intelligence. We can read the perceptual screens of the men in the room, come up with, gauge the situation strategically, come up with a nuanced solution, and take control. Because they're busy playing this game. You're looking at me like, oh my God.
This is good stuff.
Okay.
It works.
I keep interrupting you. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine.
Okay, so moving forward.
Is that a girl eruption? Interruption? I don't know.
No, because I was actually done with my point.
Well, great. Success in business requires mutual trust. Linda, how can women gain their colleagues' respect, and why is it much more valuable than their friendship?
Okay, women, again, this goes back to our early childhood. Good little girls, likable, popular. We don't get into fights. We don't, physical fights. We might be mean to each other. That's a different story. But being liked is very, very important to a woman. And it's completely overrated. Have you ever seen in any job you've ever had that the most popular person is the boss? No, because in order to be the boss, you have to be decisive. You have to have, you have to make decisions. You have to make hard decisions sometimes. You don't have to be a jerk. You don't have to be, mean. You just have to be strong, decisive, and make decisions. And because of that, you're not going to be the most popular person, but you will be respected and you will be able to lead.
So, just kind of bringing this down, a lot of this is like more corporate boardroom, but, I would see a woman running her own small business. She can look at her vendors and contractors and people she's interacting with as people she needs to demonstrate these leadership skills with. And it'll all be the same in the end.
Yes. The thing is, it's not, I'm in the corporate world, but it works in any business situation. If you're a salesperson, if you're whatever you're doing with your life, these skills help to be confident, to use direct, forceful language, to not let people interrupt you, and to stop worrying about being liked and more be concerned about being respected.
Mm-hmm. So I hear kind of the analogy. Oh, I did it again. I man interrupted. I hear the analogy that like a lot of leadership comes down to influence, and the things you're talking about here, build that influence. So it's not necessarily about having an employer boardroom relationship. It's about, showing, demonstrating these skills to improve your influence, and that'll lead to that, that assertive.
Exactly. Position. And that's the whole confidence thing. And emotional intelligence is the marriage of intelligence and empathy and emotion. And what it means is that you're in touch with your own emotions and your own motives, and you can read the emotions of your audience, whoever it is, one person or a group, and understand their motives. And that way you can adjust. And, the old kind of leadership was sort of like the army, although I was never in the army, what I call command and control. So the alpha male tells everyone else what to do, and that's it. That doesn't work anymore in this world.
Well, Linda Smith, this has been a great discussion on women suiting up for power. Do you have any final points you would like to share with our audience?
No, I have a quick set of the five S's: stand up with confidence, speak up, step up, show up, and stick up for yourself. All of those are keys to success, and we've discussed all of them. I also wanted to mention, since we're signing off, that not only do I have a website, Lessons from the Meanest Woman Alive, but I also have a Facebook site, Meanest Woman Alive, that has 500,000 followers, and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, we encourage our viewers to visit the Facebook and website.
Okay.
Linda Smith, thank you for being such a great guest on the Home Business Podcast.
Thank you.
To learn more about Linda Smith, visit themeanestwomanalive.com or our podcast website for more information on guests.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of the Home Business Podcast. Share your feedback with us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and at our website, homebusinessmag.com.
Visit the website for information on advertising. Subscribe to our newsletter. Please visit our sponsors. For more information, visit homebusinessmag.com or the Home Business Expo at homebusinessexpo.com.
I'm Richard Captain Henderson saying anchors away.
We'll talk with you soon. Until then,
make it a great home-based biz day.